have live music. We're going to have Frank from Arizona Iced Tea out there. Frank is going to be selling you Arizona Iced Tea and the various products that he has for a buck. And all of those proceeds will go to My Friend's Place. So all the money we raise goes to the great guys at My Friend's Place. So we'll have some entertainment, have a little refreshment for you. And hopefully it'll be worth your while coming out there on the 18th. That's 1 week from Saturday. Again, it's at Rock Honda. If you went to our signing last year out there, you know we got a pretty good crowd early on. And, oh boy, I remember we decided we'd cut off the signing. We were there for 3 hours, and I had to cut the signing off, and the crowd got a little surly. So we're trying to tell you, please get there as early as you can, and we'll get through as many people as we possibly can. And it won't be our only signing for the year. We're going to do more. The other good news is it's going to be available online. You can order online. There are people last year who wanted to get the CD. They didn't have computers. They didn't have access to a computer. Hopefully one of these days we'll try to get an 800 number going. But even if you can just use, I shouldn't say this, use the one at work. Use a computer, and you can order the CD online. And so that will be made available to you, as well as our radiothon. So we'll try and sell this sucker out this year, as we have the last couple of years, our Best of 99 CD. It's called Communism is Neat. It'll be at the 18th, Rock Honda in Fontana, Sierra Avenue, just north of the 10, and we'll be there at noon. Okay. As I mentioned to you, I've gone off the Atkins diet. I didn't mention it to you. I mentioned it to Carell, and it was on his show, but I've not gone off of it. I am not even saying that I'm giving up on it, but I will tell you this. I'm none too happy having gotten on the scale today and having gained 3 pounds in the week. I don't think that's what they wanted to have happen. I don't know what it is I'm doing wrong. It could have been the birthday cake on Friday. It could have been the carton of milk. It could have been the apple. It could have been a lot of things. It could be that maybe I'm supposed to be fat. And maybe there isn't a diet in the world that is going to work for me. I don't know, but getting on the scale this morning, 3 pounds since last week, it's sad. And Maria is getting a little discouraged. She's lost 4 pounds, but even she's getting upset with the whole process. Just the idea of buying Jimmy Dean's sausage to her is a hateful thing. It's rough for her to walk into a supermarket and buy Jimmy Dean's sage-flavored sausage. Hillshire Farm sausage, Farmer John, those little sirloin steaks, Salisbury steaks, just purchasing red meat, pork products is something she's got to go through a big change to get around. She's got to go through a whole lot of changes to try to bring that stuff into her house. So even though she's losing weight on this thing, and Alex, our 12-year-old, he's losing a few pounds on his baby, she wants to pull the whole family off of this because there just ain't enough pasta. You know, there just isn't enough cheesecake. There ain't enough apples. There ain't enough a whole lot of everything that we all love and know and you know, that we want to eat in this diet. So frustrated, yeah. Fat, yes, I am.
Добрый день. Спасибо, что вы выбрали компанию Steel Henry Air. Наш полет будет проходить на высоте 300 тысяч фит. И еще ватка. Наш полет включает борщ. Я еще хочу упомянуть Чернобыль. And now, here's Steel.
Be a little bit of an open line night tonight. We have a couple of guests coming on later. It's the Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. And that's all I have to say about that. Spin Magazine has an interesting section this month in their magazine called Myth World. And I plumb forgot about these events, myths, these stories that were circulating in and around rock and roll in the 1970s. I heard every one of them. And I believed, I think, most of them. I take that back. I heard most of them except one or two. And everyone that I heard, I think I believed. And it's interesting because they are comparing some of these to modern 90s rock and roll myths, some of which we've also heard, some of which we probably believe. Now, when these things hit the popular consciousness, like the gerbils and Richard Gere, I didn't find one person that didn't believe it. I have to be honest with you, because there were nurses who claimed they were in the receiving room when they brought Richard Gere in and the gerbil was still alive, and, you know, the duct tape and all of this, and the PVC pipe. And just about everybody believed it until about a month goes by, 2 months goes by, and then you realize you've been conned. You realize you've been had. You realize you're the biggest chump going. It's one of the things that I enjoy and something I believe very seriously in, and that is chump people as much as you can because it teaches people things. I really like it when people are tricked and fooled by certain things in mass media because it's the quickest way for us to educate ourselves as to what's true and what isn't. So remember these? Following a mysterious car accident, KISS bassist Gene Simmons' tongue was replaced with an extra-large cow's tongue, thus explaining its remarkable size. I didn't hear that one. Schaefer had. And certainly I've seen Gene Simmons, and yeah, I've seen that thing dip down probably chin length. I've seen, yeah, he can, that thing thrusts out and down about chin length. And as God is my witness, when I was a kid, I was in kindergarten, 5 years old, going to Camino Grove School over in Arcadia, California. And there was a little redheaded kid. He was a real redhead because he had the white eyebrows, and he even had those blonde eyelashes. You ever seen those funny-looking redheaded kids with the blonde eyelashes? And he used to amuse and entertain us during our snack time, touching the tip of his nose with his tongue. And at the time, we thought it was, hey, we were laughing. I had no idea the significance of that. I had no idea how significant that would be to him later in his life. I don't even think he did. I don't know what that guy's doing now, but he was a little redheaded guy with blonde eyelashes and pretty nice kid, but he'd always crack me up. He'd stick his tongue on the end of his nose. What do you think he's doing for a living now? But it wasn't Gene Simmons. I know that because the kid, well, Gene Simmons is from New York. Anyway, that's the 70s rock myth. The 90s rock myth that the people at Spin have used to compare that event with teen pop sensation Britney Spears had her natural breasts replaced with enlarged implants, thus explaining their remarkable size. So, like that. Another one of these 70s rock myths. This one's pretty good. Her septum worn away from cocaine abuse, Fleetwood Mac Stevie Nicks enlisted her personal assistant to blow coke up her ass with a straw. The 1990s rock myth to coincide with that, bored with cocaine abuse, bored with abusing cocaine, Marilyn Manson becomes addicted to smoking ground-up human bones. Gets addicted to it. There's absolutely nothing chemically that would get you, I, addicted, or B, off after smoking human bones, but just the whole concept of smoking human bones, Marilyn Manson gets addicted to that. The Marilyn Manson myth, kids are so, they so desperately want to believe in that guy's whole regalia, don't they, man? They really want to believe that that eyeball got white from shooting smack into it. They want to believe that the dude, well, wait till we get to myth number, I think it's myth number six here. You won't want to miss that one. Smoking ground up human bones. The only guy I've ever met in my life that smokes ground up human bones and gets off on it is Tony Sorrentino, who's engineering tonight. It's the only guy I've ever seen. And we let him do it because he enjoys it. He robs a grave, he comes to work. It relaxes him. 1970s rock myth. How many of you guys have heard of these, by the way? The father of rock iconoclast Frank Zappa played Mr. Green Jeans on the wholesome TV classic Captain Kangaroo. I did hear that one. I did believe that one for a while. It is obviously not true if you've read Zappa's biography, which I think is called the Frank Zappa book, but it was a very interesting myth. And one to go along with that, when School's Out came out by Alice Cooper, that was the first song I heard Alice Cooper do, School's Out. It was sworn up and down by everybody that I knew. Everybody in my generation, they swore it was Jerry Mathers from Leave It to Beaver and that Tony Dow was a drummer in the band. And that went along with Eddie Haskell, who was John Holmes and was a porn star. So all those guys were, obviously all those guys were doing a lot better than they were back when they were just, you know, hanging with the Beav. The 90s rock myth to go along with that, as a child, Sugar Ray guitarist Rodney Shepherd played fur-covered Chaka on the wholesome TV classic Land of the Lost. That also turns out to be crap. I believe Shepherd even came out publicly and said, you know, anybody calls me Chaka one more time or thinks I'm fur-covered ape or anything, and I'm going to start swinging. I think he got a little upset about it. Oh, he apologized for not stopping the rumor. 1970s rock myth. Exhausted by rock stardom, would-be poet Jim Morrison faked his own death and is now running guns in Africa. Well, we've all heard the myth that Morrison faked his own death. I never heard that he was running guns in Africa. I heard that he was hanging someplace in Europe, maybe even return to the United States. The 90s myth to go along with that. Exhausted by rock stardom, Manic Street Preachers guitarist Richie Edwards faked his own death and is now pub crawling in the tropics. The one to go along with the Morrison myth is that he's waiting to make a comeback. Waiting to make a comeback. Along with Elvis Presley, waiting to make a comeback. I got to pick and choose my spot, because you never know. People may not accept me, you know? It might just, the new album may not go over with this new generation. Jim Morrison came back from the dead today, man. He could sell pencils. He could sell albums and pencils. He could start smoking those ground up human bones and getting, I bet you he'd be the only guy, along with Sorrentino, be getting off on that. Just because he's back from the dead. 70s rock myth Rod Stewart, and this is another that I heard, and this is another that I believed, and this is another that is so outrageous, you question why you believed it in the first place. But during that particular time, you said to yourself, this is the life. This is the way these people live, isn't it? 70s rock myth Rod Stewart was rushed to the hospital for an emergency stomach pump after swallowing 8 pints of semen. I heard that. It was going around the radio station I was working at the time. It was a very widely spread story. One of the amendments, if you will, or one of the offshoots of that story, is that it was Mick Jagger's. 90s rock myth, and here we get back to Marilyn Manson. Marilyn Manson had 2 ribs removed in order to facilitate self-fellatio, potentially enabling him to perform that act on himself. Man, that is great to have that kind of money, to have 2 of your ribs removed so that you can bend over. Look at Tony taking notes. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Show here, 1-800-449-8686. Wilkesboro, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I just wanted to say that I'd heard rumors about the Gene Simmons thing, but I had heard that it was he had the tendon at the bottom of his tongue clipped, and that it allowed it to extend out a little bit further.
Now, that, according to my producer, is not true. Now, could you turn your radio down and then throw it out of your car?
Okay.
All right. Now, my producer says that that isn't true, that he had the tendon of the... although that would do it. It would do it. That
right.
would make it appear that it's longer.
Right.
Although, obviously, it doesn't give it any extra length. But by clipping that tendon, it would... I think it does... I've heard something like that. I don't know.
Right.
So why don't you try it? But I don't think he ever did it. Would you ever try that?
I bet my wife would like it.
Your wife would... Would she? As opposed to right now, she's not having too much fun. If I were you, I'd go get that tendon clip to see what happens. Okay, brother, thanks.
Uh-huh.
Goodbye. Los Angeles on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi, Phil. This is Dean from Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if you had any evidence of what I heard about Janis Joplin, Jim Croce, and Jimi Hendrix.
Choking on their own puke?
Yeah.
I heard Hendrix did.
I heard all 3 of them did the same year.
Jim Croce died in a plane crash.
Oh.
Unless he choked on his own puke and then died in a plane crash, you know, like 6 months later or something.
Oh.
But then I heard that Eddie, you know, who was the guy's name? Who's the kid that blew his brains out up in Seattle? Kurt Cobain?
Mm-hmm.
Shot himself, then went into the studio and completed another album and then died.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's what I heard. Now, Bon Scott choked on his own puke. He was the lead singer with AC/DC. John Bonham, drummer with Led Zeppelin, choked on his own puke.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and the reason for this, have you heard? Seriously, you know why? Because they're vomiting in their sleep. They've ingested so much by way of alcohol and drugs that their system is obviously regurgitating it, and they're sleeping while this is happening. And if you're laying on your back, then there's big problems. So you got Jimi Hendrix. Janis Joplin, I don't know. Jim Croce, I would bet that's not true, since he did die in a plane crash. But Bon Scott and John Bonham, yeah, all puke chokers.
Oh, my.
Yeah, rough.
You think sooner or later rock artists would kind of learn from this?
Most of them do. Most of them know. But there's drug abusers and alcohol abusers in every walk of life, so.
This is true.
Yeah, you know. But yeah, you're right. You don't really hear about pipe fitters choking on their own puke. So along the way, I think that some professions seem to have it more than others. You're right. You're right about that. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Garden Grove on the Phil Hendry Show. Hi.
How you doing, Phil?
Good, sir. How are you doing?
Oh, not too bad. Listen,
great.
Phil, you're forgetting the best one. That's Mama Cash. She choked on a ham sandwich.
And that's a cruel one, because that wasn't true either, and they were making fun of her weight.
Well, yeah, but that I've heard that for years, though.
Of course. I heard the one about Rod Stewart swallowing Mick Jagger's stuff for years.
Oh, you know, that's just disgusting. I don't believe that at all.
Well, you don't want to believe it because it's disgusting. It might be truer than Mama Cass choking on a ham sandwich. Maybe Rod Stewart choked on a ham sandwich. Maybe Rod Stewart choked on Mick Jagger's ham sandwich. But Mama Cass, that was cruel because they were making fun of her weight, I think.
So you don't think that ever happened?
No, I do not. No, I don't think she... Think of it. Just think about that, okay?
I don't know
if
how
you If you have it in for somebody... If you have it in for someone who's fat...
Yeah.
What could be a crueler rumor to circulate about them than, yeah, I heard they choked on a ham sandwich.
That is pretty bad.
And if I think that... I heard she was a vegetarian or something.
Well, apparently not that night.
Not that... No. Well, that night, yeah, she went off the Atkins.
Well,
okay,
thanks,
man.
Phil.
Thanks. You'll be hearing about me choking on a ham sandwich one of these days, because if I can't get a couple of pieces of bread to go along with that Spam, I'm going to start to cry. I'm going to really start shedding. I'm going to be shedding tears. Now my wife says to me, look what I got, Spam. I said, all right, I haven't had that since I was, I don't know, maybe 8. You know, I used to take that stuff and eat it raw in a tree behind the house. I mean, that's what I did. I would spoon it out, eat it raw in a tree behind the house. All right, I haven't had that stuff in a long time. So now I have to eat it because it's part of the Atkins diet. I'm frying it up, and I'd love to put it between a couple of pieces of bread. But guess what? You can't have bread because that ain't on the diet. Now, how about this one? Ozzy Osbourne bites the head off of a bat. Tony Sorrentino, is that true? He's nodding his head yes. Tony wants to believe the myth. You say it's true? How do you know it's true? Because he did it on stage? Yeah, well, Frank Zappa supposedly took a dump on stage and ate that, and that turned out to be complete nonsense. I beg your pardon? He admitted to it? Has anybody seen him do it? It's one of those things, he might admit to it because he wants to promulgate the myth, if you will. You know what I mean by promulgate? Okay. Let's keep it going. Yeah, so in other words, or promote. So, but has anyone seen him do it? What about Johnny Rotten and other members of the Sex Pistols vomiting on record company executives at Heathrow Airport? Is this true? God, please let it be. Here's Mission Viejo on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yeah, Phil.
Hi.
This is Darren. What about Alice Cooper a couple years ago? I guess he was rumored to pass around cups and people spit in, and he would drink it at the end. You know anything about that?
It could be true, because I've done that. I don't know. Does that sound that vile to you? It sounds vile, but
well,
who knows?
Kind of vile, but
let me ask you a question.
Younger years.
Why would he do that? Yeah. He'd probably do it because he heard the one about Ozzy Osbourne biting the head off the bat, thought it was true, and tried to outgross him, and then found out that it wasn't true, and then puked and choked on it.
I bet that's what happened.
Yeah,
Bill,
he vomited.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, Jimi Hendrix choked on his own vomit after drinking a cup full of spit after he heard that Jim Morrison pulled it out on stage. So he was trying to top that, and guess what? He didn't. Which, by the way, the jury is still out as to whether Jim Morrison ever pulled it out on stage. Well, no, the jury ain't out. Of course he did. Why are people still arguing about that? He must have. Mustn't he? Ozzy Osbourne bit the head off of a bat. Get me into a commercial break, will you? Charlotte on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey.
Hi.
What about the old 70s funk band, release the song, and somebody was supposedly being murdered in the background.
That was Ohio Players. In fact, you know what? I didn't get to that one, and I'm glad you mentioned that. While funk band The Ohio Players were recording their single Love Roller Coaster, a woman was being murdered in the adjacent studio. Her screams are said to be audible on the finished record, and yes, you can hear those. If I had that, I'd play it for you. Has Schaefer got his stuff here? Has Crozier got his stuff here? Because if we got Love Roller Coaster, I can play that, and you will very clearly hear a scream going on in the background. K-Ace, would you do me a favor and go grab that from Easy next door? And I'll play that for you in the middle of the... You can hear the scream. And who knows? I think it was one of the band members. I don't think it's a woman. I think it was the drummer. It's one of the guys. It's very feminine, but it's one of the guys. The 90s rock myth to go along with that, while trying to sneak into a Metallica concert in Ireland by climbing a tree and hopping a security fence, a drunken fan fell on a branch, which became deeply embedded in his ass. His screams were said to be audible over the band's PA. 90s rock myth. Who wins, by the way? Ohio Players in that one. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Have you got that in the jewel case, Tony, the Ohio Players? Now, before you roll that, let me just reiterate what we're talking about here. The 70s myth, while funk band The Ohio Players were recording their single Love Roller Coaster, which I think was about 1975, a woman was being murdered in the adjacent studio. Her screams are said to be audible on the finished recording. That is the myth. And it is a myth because that has never, ever, ever, ever been proven. And, of course, it was just one of those crazy things that came out of those kooky times known as the 70s. All that hair and all of those really wide collars. Let's go ahead and roll that, Tony, if you would, and you can hear the sound. Now, that's the beginning of the song, right? Is that the beginning of the song? Okay, we need the instrumental break in the middle of the song. And in the middle of the song, you'll hear similar guitar riff, and you'll hear screaming. This supposedly was a woman being murdered in an adjacent studio. We will go ahead and just roll it, man, so that I don't have to vamp and pretend like I know what I'm talking about. Here we go. Listen. Crank it up as loud as you can. Is that the middle? One of the things that I'd love to have, and maybe we'll get it when we get over to Premiere, I'll get my own CD player over here. There it is right there. Back it up. Back it up. Back it up. Okay, that's it. That's it. That's it. That's all I can stomach. And that's it. Here is West L.A. on the Phil Henry Show. Hi.
Hey, Phil.
Hi.
Great show. Here's the thing about Ozzy. It actually is true, and he actually talks about it in one of the VH1's Behind the Music.
Well, see, he talks about it. Right. Who saw it happen?
Well, it was supposedly on stage at a concert, and this is the story that he tells, that it sort of came out of when he bit the head off the dove. That was another story, which apparently also actually happened, and there's pictures of the dove thing. He did it in a meeting with record executives.
And there's pictures of that?
Yeah.
You mean one of the executives happened to have an Instamatic?
It was...
He pulled it out of his trench coat and... Wait a minute, Ozzy, whoa.
Ooh.
Right in the middle of negotiations, the guy took a picture of Ozzy biting into a dove.
Yeah, I think it was like a press conference thing.
Oh, I see.
With the executives. And there were, or else there was someone from one of the magazines there, one of the music magazines, whatever it was, there were pictures, pretty gruesome pictures, blood dripping all over some lady. He sits in some lady's lap and bites the head off this dove, and the blood gets everywhere. And he had the dove in the first place because they had been feuding, and he wanted to have like a peace offering or something like that. And at the last minute, he decided to bite the head off.
And how about the bat? That's a slightly different story.
A little bit. But he's, you know, he always had the sort of occult thing following him around, whether or not he was actually a devil worshiper. People thought he didn't. It was good for record sales. So what happened was that he would have rubber bats, and he would bite the heads off of these rubber bats, you know, just as a stage effect.
See, I've done that.
Well, who hasn't?
Right.
But apparently someone from the audience had a bat that was unconscious and threw it up on stage and bit it off. And next thing he knows, it's not rubber. He's got blood coming out of it. And he had to go to the emergency room and get rabies shots.
Tony's nodding his head. Tony Sorrentino, a major Oz fan here. So what you're telling me is someone packed an unconscious bat into an Ozzy Osbourne concert and tossed it on stage at the right moment?
Exactly. Doped the bat up.
Doped a bat.
He's lying unconscious.
Packed
in his pocket.
It in. Yeah.
Made it through security.
Got through security with a packing
with
a bat.
With a bat and a gun and a camera and a tape recorder. Throws the bat up on the unconscious bat up on stage.
Starts filming it.
Ozzy thinks it's just one of his regular fake rubber bats, and the rest is history.
That is gorgeous. Yeah. Do you work in the record business, sir?
I'm in film and TV, actually.
Great. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you. It's the best show on radio, Phil.
Well, okay, especially when we're doing this mundane material. Well, anyway, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
So there you go, Tony. So your bat story is... And now let me get into something very delicate, because I had to disabuse the kids of this one very, very quickly. Because I've heard this one for about the last 10 years, and it has something to do with this. A lady is south of the border in Tijuana. Her child, her infant child, is stolen from her. And she chases the man through the crowd who steals the infant child. Well, she can't find him. It's near the border. It's very crowded between the border there in the United States going into San Diego, between Tijuana and San Diego. She can't get the kid. The man has disappeared into the crowd. So she's heartbroken and doesn't know what else to do. She gets on the other side of the border, now into the United States. The guy walks up to her and tosses at her a kid, her kid. And apparently he has killed the child. Forgive me, but, I mean, this is part of the story. Has disemboweled the child and put drugs inside of him and was able to smuggle drugs over the border from Mexico into the United States by sticking it up inside this kid who had no more innards. And then once he got his drugs over the border, he took his drugs out and tossed the now empty kid back at his mom. So I'm driving the kids to school the other morning. They're going, yeah, and it happened 2 weeks ago in Tijuana. I said, where'd you guys hear this? Over at school, Biff Barlow and Teddy Tinkleman. I said, let me clue you in, Jack. That story's been going around for about 10 years. Have you ever seen the crestfallen look on a kid's face when he thinks he's really laying it on you? When he thinks, yeah, man, I've got some information for you. You're an adult. You think you're wired? You check this out. I got the news, man. I got the 411 on something that you'll never have any connection to. Here it is, and then I lay it on him. Man, I've been hearing that story, the same story, various versions of that, for about 10 years. It's like the little one, Chris, says to me, don't ever go through a gang neighborhood and hold your fingers in a cross. I said, why is that, Chris? That means that you want them to shoot you. I said, and you have all this wise and worldly information about, quote, gang neighborhoods, end quote, from where? Well, I heard it from, name one. Generally some kid named Rusty. Santa Barbara on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil.
How are you doing?
Remember Ted Nugent?
Yeah, I remember Ted Nugent.
Yeah, well, my brother Jim used to swear to me that whenever Ted was in concert and he used to yell out one of those really wild screams,
yeah,
that every time he did that, he crapped his pants.
Yeah, and that's why he stopped doing it.
Did you ever hear that?
So, in other words, if Ted Nugent screamed too loud, he'd crap in his own pants?
No, remember he had the trademark scream?
Yeah,
every time he did that, supposedly he crapped his pants. My brother swore that was true.
And your brother knows this how? See, once again, we have to ask these people who tell us these stories, well, how do you know this? Where did you hear this, and what is the information on this?
Right, see, it was my big brother.
He's laying this on you, right? Yeah, generally, you know where they tell you they heard, hey, man, I heard it on the radio, the disc jockey, you know, he said it was true. Yeah, Ted Nugent screaming there on Wango Tango. By the way, he crapped his pants in that session. God.
Commercial for Depends.
I never heard that one.
Yeah, well, I tell you, my brother used to swear by it.
Well, when you say he swore, did he, like, what, he'd go into Denny's at 3 in the morning and tell, like, the guy working behind the counter this?
No,
what do you
he
mean,
was just
swear by
me,
it?
As far as I know, and his buds.
Huh? I bet you he was just yanking you a little bit.
Probably. He yanked me lots of different ways.
Oh, well, then he goes to school. He tells his friends this. Hey, man, did you hear? Yeah, Ted Nugent screamed so loud at the concert last night at the Forum, he crapped in his pants. Yeah, man. I mean, I got a friend of mine who works security. He saw it happen. He saw the whole thing come down. It's pretty nasty, man. Pretty nasty. Yeah, that's exactly how that goes.
Yep.
Nugent wore, I'm getting a message now from Schaefer, Nugent wore nothing but a loincloth on stage. So
oh,
that'd be a very
God.
Difficult. No, he didn't really. I mean, he used to wear pants. He used to wear those spray-on jobs that, you know, that the 70s rockers. So there was a time when he wore pants. But when he went into his loincloth period, it'd be hard to hide that, wouldn't it?
I would think so.
Okay, well, thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
Hadn't heard that one. Well, there's one we can send off to spin. Ted Nugent took a dump every time he screamed real loud. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show here. Let's go over to Lancaster on the Phil Henry Show. Hi.
Yeah, Phil, how you doing tonight?
Good.
Hey, Phil, I heard I didn't hear a rumor. I read an article in the L.A. Times yesterday that a lot of these rock and roll and pop, can I get the article for you? Because it's one of these things I saw that got me a little bit angry. And I wanted to mention, as long as you were talking about rock stars.
Yeah, go ahead. Don't read anything to me, okay?
I'm not going to read a lot. It's from the L.A. Times. It says, sports legends and men of God have united with pop icons and politicians in wishing the world a happy new millennium free of war and full of hope. And I looked at this. I said, what has this got to do with me? And what? In other words, you know...
What bothers you about it?
Well, what bothers me about it is they got... who is it here? Whitney Houston wishing me a good goddamn New Year. And now why do I need that? What?
You don't want to be wished Happy New Year by Whitney Houston?
No, but why do I need Whitney Houston wishing me Happy New... What does that mean exactly? Now, they got one here. It says...
Well, these are famous people.
Yeah, well, that's my whole point. All these famous people got together and have bestowed their blessing on all of us. You know what I'm saying? So, in other words, to me, it's almost an insult to have Tina Turner say, "Hey, world, you know, hey, do better there." You know, my name is Austin. I feel like Tina Turner's telling me to buck up and get it going. And
well, what is wrong with that?
I don't need it. I don't need Tina Turner telling me, everything's going to be okay. There's another one here.
All right, let me cut through all of this stuff here. I think what you're saying is you don't like the idea of what rock stars and politicians and, excuse me, rock stars and politicians exalting, so highly exalted that it's almost like they're blessing you?
I think these are people, that they're just people. In other words, I don't need Whitney Houston telling me it's going to be okay. There's something about Whitney Houston patting me on the ass and saying, get on out there, Austin, and do a good job, that pisses me off, you know? And
well, Whitney Houston patting you on the ass. Okay,
I'm just saying, it bothers me. Now, there's another one here. I wanted to read this to you. Pop star, the others wanted good times and a better world. It says, pop star, I'm quoting now, this is what one of them said.
All right.
Pop stars have two instincts. They want to have fun, and they want to change the world. This millennium, we can do both, said Boner of Irish band U2. Who the hell? First of all, who's Boner?
Boner?
Yeah, he's with the band U2.
Bono.
Well, what the hell is Bono? It says Boner.
His name isn't Boner. His name's Bono.
Well, it says Boner said...
I don't know. Are you reading the L.A. Times?
I'm reading the Times. It says Boner wants us to go out and do better. What is that? In other words, what you're saying to me is, and what the L.A. Times is saying, hey, thank goodness Boner is telling me to get out and do a good job next year, huh?
Well,
Jesus. I mean, I really... It
ain't a guy named Boner. His name's Bono. He's with you, too, and he's wishing you a happy millennium.
Well, you know what? I ain't going to be around for a thousand years, and I really take it personal. Whitney Houston, Tina Turner, Boner, all these people patting me on the ass and telling me, get on out there on Austin, do a good job. To me, and that's why a lot of these myths, I think, are started, because people are, you know, they're sort of tired of it. They want to knock them down a few pegs.
Well, that could very well be, all right? But don't take it too personally. It's all having to do with a publicity push of some kind. These people need to have their names in the newspaper, and they need to be noticed, and to wish the world a happy millennium, to wish the world the very best. Maybe they think that they're inspiring some people.
Well, Boner isn't inspiring me.
His name isn't Boner, it's Bono, okay?
Well, he's not inspiring me to do nothing, okay?
Well, then take it for what it's worth. You're not inspired by Boner. I mean, by Bono, okay?
All right, well, that's all I'm saying. Some guy named Boner told me that I'd do a good job.
I understand that. 1-800-449-8686. How juvenile. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Show at 1-800-449-8686. One of the kids wants Dreamcast for Christmas, so we're getting ready for that. We also need to, I guess, update Nintendo 64. We have to get PlayStation going. I wonder at what point I will buy a system for myself. At some point this Christmas season, it's going to happen. I'm going to buy it for me, and they don't get to play it at all. Here's Memphis on the Phil Henry Show. Hi.
Phil, one of the variations on the Zappa story with him taking a dump on stage was that he took a dump on stage and then he ate it on stage.
Oh, yeah, I heard that, yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of he says in his book that a lot of his fans actually, they thought that...
They bought that, yeah.
Yeah, they really wanted it to happen. Like, a guy came up to him in a bar one time and he says, "Man, you're really great. When I heard that you did that on stage, I thought, he's really way out there." And Zappa,
I remember.
Yeah. Yeah, he had to say, "Well, I never did that." And the guy walked away like he'd just broken his heart.
Yeah, so. Zappa was on, what show was he on? I forget. He was being interviewed. He said a member of a group called The Flock, it was an old rock group called The Flock, walked up to him and said, "I was so proud of you."
Oh, okay.
And he said, "What do you mean you're proud of me?" He said, "I heard you took a dump on stage and ate it.
Yeah.
I was so proud of you." He says, at that point, I think Zappa said something classic like, "At that point, I knew I didn't want to be in rock and roll anymore." You know?
Well, he tried to get out.
But I want to know what it says about the fan base. You know, they want to believe these things.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Ozzy Osbourne throwing puppies into a dryer for relaxation. You know, what is it about his fans that they want to believe this?
He addressed that one time. It said somewhere in his book that he never took a dump on stage, and the closest he ever came to eating it was at a buffet somewhere at a Holiday Inn.
Perfect. All right, thank you.
Thanks.
See you later. Charlotte on the Phil Henry Show. Hi.
Hi.
How are you? How are you?
I'm all right.
Great.
So, I just heard once that Marilyn Manson is actually Paul from the Wonder Years.
Ain't that true, Mike? No? It ain't.
No, there's an age difference. It can't work out.
Yeah?
They have different names. He's actually like Brad something from like Florida.
The dude who was The dude in the Wonder Years was Brad something from Florida?
No, the dude on the Wonder Years was like Paul Saviano, and Marilyn Manson is Brad something from Florida. But it's been going around for like 5 years.
How old is Marilyn Manson? 20?
He's like 28 or 29, and like Paul is like maybe 32 now.
Yeah, the Wonder Years was that mid-80s?
Yeah, late 80s, early 90s.
Oh, okay, late 80s, early 90s. That dude's 32?
Yeah, something like that. There's just a big age difference.
What about that eyeball thing?
The eyeball thing, actually, that's almost real. I've met Manson, so I can probably say that the eye, it looks a little bit glass.
Oh, you mean he's got like a glass eye from shooting too much smack into his own eyeball?
I imagine so. He's really nasty looking in real life.
Say,
like, close. He's got like real scars and stuff all over his body.
Because he goes home at night. What does he do? He goes home at night and he takes like a large, one of those things you use to carve a turkey. Doesn't he take a Scottish cleaver and he just starts hacking away at his own body parts?
I don't know. I've heard that he smashed headlights onto his chest during shows and stuff too.
I heard he tried to put his own head through a windshield just to see what it would, you know, what effect it would have.
I actually heard that he removed his floating ribs so he could actually kind of give himself oral.
Yeah. Wait a second. We had just read that. In fact, that he had two ribs removed so he could service himself orally. Now, doesn't that take... You got to admire a guy like that.
Yeah, you do, but then you got to kind of wonder exactly why does he need to do this?
Well, if you're Marilyn Manson.
He's famous.
I beg your pardon?
He can get any girl. I mean, he's famous. He can get any girl he wants. Why does he need to do it to himself?
This is what I'm talking about. When you're Marilyn Manson and you're that famous and you've run through every groupie across America from Maine to Southern California, up and down, right?
Yeah.
And you've been with every chick, and it just isn't getting it done. I think the next step is you go to the doctor and have a couple of ribs removed, and you start, you know, start thinking about what you can do for yourself.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, don't you admire a guy like that? I mean,
I don't know. I don't admire him because I think he, quite frankly, I think he's a jerk.
I don't know. Was he rude to you when you met him?
Oh, he actually grabbed my face, and he called me a cute little bitch.
Oh, yeah? Where was this, backstage at a show?
No, it was at a club, after a show.
Yeah.
And he was, like, I followed his way through, like, a crowd of people.
Yeah.
And he was there, and he kind of grabbed my face and just called me a cute little bitch, and he turned to walk away, and I just, like, stepped up and put a cigarette out, like, right underneath of his eye.
Oh, you put a cigarette out under his eye?
Yeah.
Underneath the good eye?
Well, he has, like, really sharp fingernails, so when he grabbed my face, he left, like, a huge mark on my face. I still have, like, sort of a scar there from it.
Did you put the cigarette out underneath the good eye?
Somebody's actually told me that, like, well, I heard he had the glass eye because of what I did, but it was already there. No, I think it was, like, his left eye, so I don't think it was underneath of the one with the glass.
Well, I got to tell you something. If you put it all together, the fact that he used to shoot heroin into his eyeball, he took two ribs out so he could suck himself off, you got to admire a man like that. You got to just say, this is, you know, something. This is where I'd like to be someday.
Well, yeah, I just think he's
with
a really
bad eye and, you know, doubling over on myself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Cool. You sound like a great gal. Thanks for calling tonight, ma'am.
Uh-huh.
God bless.
Mm-hmm.
Peace out. Love you. What in the hell? Let me take out a couple of ribs, blow some smack into my eyeball, and, like, give myself what am I looking for? I wouldn't be able to find it on me.